Today on The Balanced Word, we notice where things went wrong for King Solomon. And it's a story that has been tragically repeated in one form or another.
Some of us would go, wow, that Solomon, he was, what a sleazebag he was with all those women and the horrible women and all this idolatry. But what is our love? What is it that we are drawn to that maybe has the potential to pull us away? For some of us, it might just be money. For some of us, it may be the notion of success. For some of us, it may be our hobbies. It may be television. It may be, there's all sorts of things that can pull our heart away. For him, his heart was pulled away by his love for women.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. Instrument I play, wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Solomon was the wisest and richest man in all of history. What can we take away from his life story? Plenty. There were great victories and failures that we can learn from. We'll do just that today on The Balanced Word, as Pastor Dave Rolfe returns to his series on the Bible stories. We'll get a glimpse into Solomon's success, but we'll also see where things went terribly wrong. I think you'll get a lot out of it as we do. So join us in 1 Kings if you can.
His humility just jumps out at me. Now, normally you don't think of Solomon as a humble person. And if you were watching his life up to this point, he's like, I want to be king. And David's telling him, okay, then great. After I die, there's a bunch of people that I promised I wouldn't kill. So after I die, you kill them. I mean, you love this father-son interaction right before they die. It's really a trip. But for most of his life, he's a leader. Now, in general, if you're a leader and you get up in front of people and go, I don't know what I'm doing, they're not going to follow you anymore. It's as simple as that. If he had done that, if he had acted humble in front of people, it would have been the end of his reign. But where it matters most, where humility is actually shown, is when you are on your knees before God and you are being honest with him. You see people who act humble all the time. Most of them aren't humble at all. They're acting humble because they think somehow that's going to make them better, or they think that's the essence of humility. The essence of humility is always what you tell God from your heart. And so, in this case, he's going, God, I'm like a little kid. I don't know what I am doing. I have no business being king. Now, if he had said that publicly, they would have gone, well, then you're not. But he says it before God. And God was blessed that it was like, okay, yeah, a lot of your life, you're out there pretending, you're doing what you need to do, you're functioning in society, but now it's me and you. And you are saying what I know, you don't know what you're doing. And you really have no business being here. And you desperately need me. And God says, I like that. And I think for all of us, it's not so much what people think about how humble we are. They will judge us. Their judgments really don't matter. But what is it when it's just you and God? Are you coming to God to tell him all the things he needs to do because you deserve it? Are you coming to God and complaining to him like he's some sort of an ombudsman that's going to fix everything that's wrong because you tell him to? Or are you coming to him and going, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in trouble. And I need you to help me think. I need you to help me process. I need you to help me make life decisions. I'm in desperate need. And for Solomon, this combination of loving God, of identifying his legacy and wanting to be a part of it, asking and praying for the right things, and then humbly opening his heart before God, that combination caused God to say, I like that speech. That was good. Because of it, I will give you what you ask, and I'm going to give you more than you ever dreamed that you would ask. And that was the source of Solomon's success. So how did it go so wrong? What happened to this guy? He's humble before God. He's asking for wisdom. He loves God desperately. He knows who his dad is. And then it all came unraveled. And in the end, his kingdom was destroyed in less than a generation. It was reduced to just one tribe, just the tribe of Judah, and that only for a while until the Babylonians took them. The Assyrians took the other tribes way before that. Well, let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 11 and see what went wrong. Because if we can see what went right for Solomon, we're off to a good start. But if we don't also understand what went wrong with Solomon, we're setting ourselves up for a big failure in the end. So in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, it starts out, but despite all, King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Daughter of Pharaoh was his first wife, which he married her basically to make peace with Egypt, and maybe a smart move. But then he kept finding out there are other countries too, and other women, and he loved them. And it says that, you know, the daughter of Pharaoh, he also had Moabite women, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonians, Hittites. He never met a woman that he didn't love. And from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, or they with you. They'll turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses. Can you imagine? And 300 concubines, kind of wives. Didn't necessarily love them, but they had assets that he enjoyed. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wife turned his heart toward other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And it goes on to say he built altars, and he sacrificed to all these evil gods, including Molech, where they would do sacrifice living babies to him. He participated in all of this. He did not follow the Lord, as did his father David, there in verse 6. And so in verse 9, it says, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he didn't keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. I won't tear the whole thing away. I'll give him one tribe, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. What a crash and burn story. So what went wrong? It started with the fact that David loved lots of women. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving women, but he loved them enough that he wanted to marry them. Wanted to be the ones that didn't have the dowry to marry him, he was more than happy to have them as girlfriends. Now, you might go, that's not a problem with me. When I was single, I used to say, I could have any woman I please. Trouble is, I just don't please any. So trying to find 1,000 people who would live with you, for many of us, it's difficult enough trying to have one person live with us. But this isn't just about loving women or men. This is about loving anything that has the capacity to affect your heart for God. So some of us would go, wow, that Solomon, he was, what a sleazebag he was with all those women and the horrible women and all this idolatry. But what is our love? What is it that we are drawn to that maybe has the potential to pull us away. For some of us, it might just be money. For some of us, it may be the notion of success. For some of us, it might be our home or our cars or our friends or our family. For some of us, it may be our hobbies. It may be television. It may be, there's all sorts of things that can pull our heart away. For him, his heart was pulled away by his love for women. What pulls our heart away? Well, and I'm not a legalistic person like everybody should be in church every week or you're in sin or something like that. I think that's silly. But, you know, last time you missed church, what kept you away? In fact, what are the reasons why you're not going to be here Wednesday night for Together in the Baptism? I'm quite serious. Think about it. What are the reasons that keep you from spending time in devotion with the Lord in the morning? What pulls you? What is it that's drawing you? And when you begin to explore some of those things, you will find some suspects of things that for you could be what women were to Solomon. Things that become of ultimate importance to you that crowd out other things that you totally believe in, but they just don't quite fit anymore. And so that was him. I mean, he had this great heart, but he allowed his love of other things to sway his heart and pull it away from a devotion to God. Now, in the process, he also not only betrayed his legacy, he lost complete perspective on his legacy. He would no more say, what would my dad do? What would my dad think? What would my grandmother who prayed for me, what would her approach be like in this? And in the process, he really stopped thinking about the legacy that he himself was leaving as well for his kids. He wasn't thinking, you know, man, when I went before God and I told him, I just want to be like my dad. I want to have my dad's heart. And God was so blessed by that. What if my kids start going, yeah, I want my dad's heart. And he quit worrying about that. He didn't even seem to care. Is there anyone, I don't care if you think having 700 wives is a great idea. And if you're able to write that many songs, maybe you could get that many women. But, you know, is that what you want your kids to do? Does anyone look at their little baby and go, man, someday I want this kid to just be sowing wild oats everywhere. I can't even imagine how many people this kid is going to be involved with physically. Nobody wants that. But you begin to do those sorts of things when you completely lose sight of what a legacy even is, what it means. You stop doing that, and he did, and ultimately it resulted in the failure that just crushed him, the judgment that came from God when God finally said, that's it, I've had enough. It didn't happen after wife number 500 or concubine number 100. God's really patient. But at the time when it was so obvious that his heart was gone, God said, that's it. And he goes, the only reason I don't destroy you right now is because I love your dad and he loved me. You stopped that. But on behalf of him, I'm going to allow you to live out your life. And even because of him, I'm going to let one of his grandkids sit on the throne in Judah for a while. But this deal's just about over. And that was the epitome of failure coming from the success that Solomon had had. And ending up here, you know, it was awful. What do we take away from this ultimately? First of all, it is loving God that matters most. Loving God is central. It is first. It has to be. If you don't really love God, and really to define that technically, if there are things in your life that are more important to you than God, then you won't even get on track for God to bless you. Now, you might look at your life and go, I'm so blessed. Oh, God must be pleased with me. No, you may be blessed because your grandmother was godly. You don't know that. You can't assume that because you are blessed that it's because of what you're doing. But it's all about your heart. What is ultimate to you? And again, if you want to know what idols are out there for you in your life, just ask yourself, what is it that I have that if I lost it, it would devastate me? And now you're finding what are the potential idols in your life. And if we don't start with a complete heart for God, if we don't start by going, I want God, even if I lose everything else, I want him to be the center. I want him to be first. Then you are not going to get to first base in terms of having a life that God blesses and that leaves a legacy. So that has to be handled right off the bat. But then secondly, when you decide that, then you need to figure out who you are without God. And that humility before him has to take place. You've got to have those moments where you fall on your knees and you just go, God, I am faking it. I'm trying to do what I have to do, what people need me to do and all that stuff. And everybody from the outside thinks I'm doing okay. But the truth is, man, I'm doubting myself. I'm confused. I don't know what to do half the time. God, I'm like an idiot. And I need you. And without you and you giving me your wisdom, I'm nothing. That's something very personal. Just because people think you're humble doesn't mean anything. And as far as that goes, just because people think you're arrogant, it doesn't mean anything. Most people who seem to be arrogant are really very insecure. Most people who seem to be humble are actually very self-centered, just as a generality. But all that matters is, who are you before God? Who are you when you talk to him and open up with him? And if you love him preeminently, then make sure that you are telling him who you are without him. Because he loves to hear that. You will be destroyed. You'll destroy yourself if you really start to believe your own press. You really start to believe your own line of baloney. It'll destroy you. But to come before God and say, God, whatever anybody else thinks of how smart I am, you know what an idiot I am, and I'm just telling you this right now, and I need you. That's critical for all of us. And then ultimately, for us to, at the same time, in that humility and out of that love for God, to be able to think in terms of legacy. What legacy do I have? Who is it that came before me? What would they want me to become? What is it that they would envision for me? Why is it that I'm so blessed because somebody else before me laid a legacy? It's like on Memorial Day. We have freedom, and people can use their freedom any way they want. You can sit here and use your freedom and be completely apathetic about our country. You can use your freedom to become hugely successful and then take advantage of people who have made those sacrifices. You can just go, I don't care what happens to the VA hospital or whatever. I'm just doing my thing. And you know, you'll get away with it. But the reason you're getting away with it is because of over 1 million people who have given their lives so that you would have the freedom to do that. You know, for all of us, what do we do about our legacy? And beyond that, what kind of a legacy are we leaving? Again, maybe you have a lousy legacy, or maybe you just haven't studied your roots enough to understand who it was that did something right so that you would be blessed. But regardless of that, do you care what happens to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids if the Lord tarries? How about doing something so that they'll be blessed, even when they don't deserve it, so they can become overwhelmed by God's goodness? Their lives can be changed. In our individualistic society, that means almost nothing to us. We are so selfish that we ignore the people who did what made it possible for us to have what we have, and we don't really care what happens down the future. This story should remind us legacy matters. Again, real success has to have a successor or its failure. It has to be passed on in a meaningful way. And in the process of all this, we learn from this, let's be cautious of the things that we love. Let's make sure that nothing compares with our love for God. And some spiritual practices, like fasting, like tithing, like Sabbath, these things are absolutely set up by God so that we can deprive ourselves of something that could easily take over. That we will stop worshiping our money, our time, our stomachs. That we will just go, you know what? Maybe it would be good for me to leave the TV off for a couple weeks. Maybe it would be good for me to make some changes in my life. Not in a legalistic way, but in a way that says, I just want to make sure that this isn't becoming a God in my life. Because it creeps up on you. Anything can creep up on you and become that thing that all of a sudden, oh, I love that. And meanwhile, your love for God is just starting to dwindle. And so that's a question that we certainly need to wrestle with. What is it that is ultimate in our lives? What is it that are the important things? What is it that it would devastate me if I lost it? I need to face that. Because my love for God has to be preeminent, or I will be setting the stage, not only for me to lose out on God's blessings, but for those who follow me to lose out as well. And, you know, again, ultimately, our humility, our prayer, our coming to Him, that's what establishes our legacy. And that's what honors the legacy we inherited. And so, as we think of this story, and as we all think, I mean, we all fantasize, you know, what if I, you know, a genie came out of a bottle and said, I'll give you 3 wishes, what would I wish for? If somebody said you can do one thing, or if you won the lottery, what's the first thing you would do with your money? It's fun to think about those things. But the wisest, richest, most powerful man in all of history, his life already shows us. The smart answer, the right answer, is to humble yourself before God, to say, I just want to carry on the legacy that I inherited, and I need your wisdom to do that. And that's our lesson for today. And that's what I take away from the life of Solomon. It's a great victory. It's a horrible tragedy. It's all those things, but it's a lesson. This is true today as it ever was.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to finish things up in a word of prayer, Pastor Dave once again.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for you giving us examples so that we don't have to keep reinventing the wheel and learning things over and over again ourselves. Your word testifies of how you work with people. And when it works well and when it doesn't, you're honest about your heroes. But help us to take this and apply it to our lives as well. Help us to seek your wisdom and help us to be single-heartedly in love with you constantly, to eliminate anything from our life that competes with you. Help us to start our prayer life now asking for the better things and not to be just consumed with lesser things. And I pray that you would help us to live up to the legacies we inherited and to actually improve upon them for those who come after us. And that blesses your heart. I know it does. I thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we bring you Elijah's story, and it'll serve to help us get through the low points of life. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And